Welcome to World Cafe Words and Music from WXBN. I'm David Dye. Our guest today, Laura Marling, the young British singer-songwriter, has just released her fifth album called Short Movie. She started in music at 16, and a year later she put out her full-length debut, Alas, I Cannot Swim. Her fourth album, Once I Was an Eagle, like her first and second albums, was nominated for the Mercury Music Prize. Even for someone as young as she is, Marling is only 25. That is a lot of work in a short period of time. After touring for Once I Was an Eagle and making an attempt at a new album, Marling found herself in Los Angeles at a dead end. More than just taking time off, she needed to reimagine herself. When we talked recently, I asked her if she had considered not making music at all for a while.
Yes, I did, very much. I spent a long time considering what my other options might be and exploring them a little bit. But I think more what I was trying to achieve at that time was ridding myself of my identity as a musician, just to feel what that would feel like. Yes, it was predictably very uncomfortable and quite scary, but quite liberating.
Were you able to gain anonymity? I guess in Los Angeles would be as good a place as any to be anonymous.
Yes, yes, probably one of the easier places to be anonymous.
There is one of the best songs on this record, and one of the first ones we had a chance to hear, though, seems to be written in New York City, which is False Hope. What period was that from? Was that after your time in Los Angeles, or...?
No, that was just shortly before I arrived. I think actually that was the thing that sent me to Los Angeles was I was moving to America and I didn't really know where I was going to end up. I finished a tour and drove from Boston to New York and beat the storm there by about 2 hours, and then spent a harrowing 48 hours stuck on the island. Kind of in complete awe of what happens to a city when sort of things start failing. I did think I'd never come back, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I thought I'd never go to Manhattan again, but I did. Wow. It's fine. I got over it.
Well, this is a version of False Hope from our guest today, Laura Marling.
Is it still okay that I don't know how to be alone? Would it be okay if I just came home tonight? We shared an apartment on the Upper West Side, and my worst problem is I don't sleep at night. The woman downstairs, she's lost her mind. And I don't care how, I don't care why no false hope. Why no false hope? A storm hits the city and the lights go out before. Thank you.
False Hope from A Short Movie, the new album from Laura Marling, and we're getting a chance to talk with her about the making of this album and the period of time before making this album. One of the things that is different this time around is there's you've produced this yourself, and there's a lot more electric guitars. People are talking about this as if it's is it a significant thing to you that you did more with the electric? Or are we making too much of a deal of it? It's sort of, I guess, my point.
Well, I think it should like to sort of come with a disclaimer that it's not a rock album. You know, it's not like I've gone deep metal or anything. It's just that a lot of this record was written on electric guitar. So it has a different tone and timbre than perhaps my previous ones that were written on acoustic guitar, which has a very different nature and personality.
Right.
So in that sense, it's relevant. But in any further than that, I think people might be disappointed.
The other thing I kind of noticed, and you hear it right from the beginning, when the album begins with the song "Warrior," is this kind of a use of a backing. I'm going to call it a drone, but it's not the right way to describe it because it takes very many forms. It's more kind of electronic on "Warrior," and there may be strings on something else. But there's a lot of there's kind of a bed on everything. Was that tell me where that kind of production idea came from?
Well, yeah, I wanted everything to sit on a level of noise and then come out towards you from that bed, just as you say. And that was because I'm fairly sensitive to sound, obviously, because I'm a musician, but fairly sensitive to like atmospheric noise. And when I moved to LA, or when I was traveling around America as well a lot, I was like really like lulled by the kind of the sound of the highway and the sound of cars. And the sound of America was different, obviously, to where I was from, but so markedly different. And because of what I do, traveling a lot or living in Los Angeles, it was a lot of mechanical sound, which is very it feels to me very like electric and futuristic in some strange way. And so I wanted that kind of panoramic, toneless mechanical sound to background everything. That's what I did.
Being a producer can, if you've never done it before, I suppose, seem like a mysterious thing to do. And I don't know if that's just because producers, to ensure their their employment, kind of make it seem that way. But what did you discover about producing yourself?
Well, yeah, I mean, I did go into it thinking, I had the fear, and I had some really good advice from, you know, the very amazing producers that I've had the good fortune to meet in my time. And but everybody's kind of advice was conflicting. And I was like, well, seems like you just do whatever you do. And you try and do the best that you can do. Sounds really cheesy and terrible. But I had my idea about what I wanted this record to sound like, and all I had to do was articulate it properly and be a decent enough human that people trusted you to direct them properly.
Yeah, I was reading that you have a thing for music and albums produced in very specifically in the late 60s, yes, but in 1969 in particular. Tell me a little bit about why that particular time.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that there was something really interesting going on in that time with the generation of people whose parents had been involved in the war, and they, you know, and the first generation of children deciding what music they were going to listen to, and the development of sound and technology and all this stuff. Just, and you know, the 60s were a pretty revolutionary time. My sort of affection for what's going on musically in 1969 is not so much to do, to the disappointment of lots of music nerds who I talk to about this kind of thing, or tech nerds, is not to do with the what kind of equipment they were using. It's sort of, I mean, that is really interesting, but that's not what I take from it. It's more like how far out they were in combination, as a combination of all the things that they were and all the music that was being made there, people seemed to be untethered to genre or to, you know, there was lots of freedom in the '60s. That's a really stupid thing, obvious thing to say.
Laura Marling is our guest, and we're getting deep inside the production of short movie, the new album. You know, it's funny. I assumed the short movie was named, or at least inspired by, the short movie you made, right? Called, what was it called? Woman Driver.
Yeah.
And but I've understood that's not the case.
Yes, no, that's just coincidence, actually.
What was the inspiration for the title?
The title, it's a short movie. It was a phrase that I'd never heard until I moved to America. I mean, in reference to life, when somebody's referencing life as a short movie, and then I thought that was, you know, just too good to be true, a sentiment for having been living in Los Angeles for the last 2.5 years.
Well, the film you were in called Woman Driver has some of your songs as the soundtrack to it. When I listened, Howl is one of the songs I think that's in there. And when I listened to that on this record, you have like little electronic noises on it that remind me of it sound like sparks in a just because I've seen the movie, sound like sparks in a, you know, campfire.
Yeah, right.
But It's a really nice song. Can you do that one, minus the sparks?
Yes.
We expect dawn around morning. I trust the rise of the sun. Have been up late with the night birds, begging the dawn not to come, begging the dawn. Thank you.
That is Howl, and that is a song you will find on Short Movie and in Laura Marling's short movie called Woman Driver that she sings in that. We're getting a chance to talk about this new album. Okay, you're in Los Angeles. You're spending a lot of time, seemingly, I could shorthand it to say, kind of figuring out how to re-envision your life. And then you left and you went back home. Now I understand you're living in England again. What are the favorite things that you took from Los Angeles that became part of your life from that experience?
Well, firstly, the people that I met there, all of whom, without exception, were extraordinary. Some musicians and some people doing other things in life.
Did you avoid musicians or did you seek them out?
I didn't avoid them. No, but I wasn't, you know, I wasn't doing music there, so I wasn't involved in a musical community, really, And so the musicians that I did meet, I just happened to meet them.
Right.
And then other than that, a kind of a gentle release of cynicism, which you have to release your cynicism to live in Los Angeles. You just have to. Otherwise, you'd feel like you were living in the Matrix or something. So, and that was but a really good thing for me, and I think it would be a good thing for most English people to experience that.
That's interesting. And what were things about the experience that you didn't want to carry back with you?
I don't know that there's anything that I experienced that, I mean, I experienced some fairly harrowing things and some things that I didn't like and some things about, you know, some things about the country that I found difficult, but nothing that I would take back, because a lot of, you know, not to get into a political discussion, but it's interesting coming from, you know, lovely maternal England with its great mother National Health Service watching over you all the time, to come to the very paternal America. This kind of residential, paternal America that's not really looking after you if you scrape your knee, which is interesting. Both of them have positives and negatives to them, but there was definitely a very different feeling between the two countries.
Well, also if you look at your life, which I referred to earlier, you know, you started doing this and were kind of revered as an artist from a very early age. So you kind of had that on steroids. I mean, you had people taking care of you and saying, aren't you great, from a very early age.
Mm-hmm. Sure did.
And I don't mean to make light of that, but or of the art that goes with that, but that I would think that would turn your head.
It's strange.
Yeah. But did you have to sort of come to terms with that at some point? That, yep, this is my life. This is strange, and this is my lot.
Yeah, I think, and then when I did come to terms with it, I was like, oh, it's a lot simpler than I was making it.
Uh-huh.
I was making it a lot more complicated than I needed to. But I didn't, you know, I simply hadn't taken stock since I started, and age 22, I guess, when I landed in LA, yes, just about turned 23. That's when the first time I was able to take stock of anything that had happened and start to rein it in a little bit, pull the reins a bit, which is great.
Laura Marling is our guest. There's another song on here called I Feel Your Love, which I know there are parts of this that seem to me about the addictive quality of love, you know. The first taste is free. I think it's a lyric somewhat like that in there. Where did this song stem from?
Yes, I Feel Your Love. I guess I liked the idea of being enveloped by the strength of someone's affection for you. And I believe that you can entangle yourself you can involve yourself in somebody's being by how passionately you care for them. And the idea of how comforting and how restricting that is. So that was it, really. There's not much else to that song.
Yeah, that's kind of the bargain you make, I guess. So,
yeah.
For good, for better or worse. It's a great song. Can you do that one?
Yeah, for sure.
Keep your love around me. Keep your love around me so I can never know what's going on. What's going on? Let the river answer. Let the river answer so I can get along. You electric fence, you silent defense. Do you are.
Feel Your Love, a performance today from Laura Marling, out of the song from a short movie, her new album, her fifth, and we're getting a chance to hear these performances today. There's a song that I've told maybe we can get a performance of today, David, which of course I like, what's its provenance? Because it seems to be a song that is kind of between albums for you.
Yes. Well, it was. Yes, it was one of the very, very early ones written, and its original placing, as we recorded it for this record, was going to be like the opening monologue and the sort of the tone set of the record. But fairly late on in the game, I suddenly had a massive change of heart and put Warrior there, thinking that Warrior would do the same thing, which I think it does. It's sort of a weird, strange monologue at the beginning of the record. But then I really did miss David being on there. So David is now being released on 7-inch or something for people to place where they wish, should they wish.
So you can do David?
Yes.
I look worse than I believe. He looks east and he thinks of me. Oh, David won't see me anymore. I open gates that close his doors just to know that he lives and breathes will have to be enough for me. Oh. Oh. There's an angel walking up. All this dirt. Sat down one day and I swallowed my pride and I begged him not to leave my life. Oh, ooh, ooh, ooh. The tear in my I'll read you David's final name. Goodbye, little girl. Don't you forget. Wasted love is a long regret. Goodbye, little girl. Don't you forget. Wasted love is a long regret. Wasted love. So
Marling, the song is called David, and you will be able to find that, we promise you, if you want a recorded version of it, but there's a live version today. Laura, I'm fascinated by you being able to take your year and figure things out, and it takes the chance of turning away from the incredible success that you've had to kind of examine things. And I think it was just a very brave and wonderful thing. And I'm glad you got music out of it, too.
Oh, well, thank you.
I'm David Dye. World Cafe Words and Music from WXPN is produced at WXPN in Philadelphia. If you'd like to hear more of our World Cafe sessions and get daily cafe alerts, you can sign up at our website at worldcafe.npr.org. As always, thanks for spending your time with the World Cafe.